hearts, prepare our hearts for worship this morning.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you.
To worship, let us turn our hearts to God in prayer. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the aid of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that attentive to your word, we may confess our sins, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us take a moment in silent prayer, followed by our prayer together out loud. Let us pray. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, and forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us unto eternal life. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, save us from the threatening dangers of our sins, and enlighten our walk in the way of your salvation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Invite the children. Come forward. Good morning. Hi. What is going to happen pretty soon? Christmas, yep. But before Christmas, we have what we call Advent. You heard of that before? Advent. Do you know what that is? No? What? You got it on the calendar? Yeah? Advent is a time that we get ready for Christmas. It's looking forward, and it's thinking about what's going to happen. Advent. And we have out there called an Advent. You see it in front of the baptismal font? Oh yeah, what that is called an Advent. Do you see it? With the candles? Right there. Oh. Oh. That is called an Advent wreath. Can you say that? Advent wreath. Everybody. Advent wreath. And it has how many candles? Five, right, Paul? Five. Three of them are purple. One of them is pink. And one of them is white, yeah. And this morning, we're going to talk about the first candle, and it's called the candle of hope. Can you say that? Candle of hope. Everybody, there's a candle of hope. What is hope? When you hope for something, do you think you ever say, I hope I don't have to go to bed? You ever say that? You ever say, I hope I don't get to eat today? No one to say that, do you? What? You're always hungry. Yeah. Yeah. You ever say, I hope it snows?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish, hope is something like I wish. Well, I'm going to talk in the big sermon about the different way we use that word hope. And the Bible uses it one way, but we usually use it a little differently. We usually, when we say hope, I hope that I don't grow old. That's not going to happen though, is it? Nope. Okay, the candle of what? Hope. And I'm going to have a different name for another candle next week, and the next week another name, and the next week another name. And each week I'm going to ask you, what was the first candle? And you're going to say the candle of? And then the second, third, and fourth. So you're going to have to remember, okay, the first candle. We, our hope is the Bible, way the Bible uses hope is that Jesus is our hope. Okay? Right there. What do you see? What do you see? The baby. Yeah, the baby Jesus. Yeah, that's what our hope is. Jesus is our hope. And we want him to live in our hearts. So we're going to sing a song that I learned when I was your age. It goes like this. And I'm going to ask the big people to help me, because you maybe haven't ever heard it. into my heart. Can you do that? Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. That is our hope, that Jesus lives in our heart. Okay? Now I'm going to have you kids help me do something. We're going to light the candle of hope. Okay? And I need your help, all of you. Come up here.
Do you want to be with him? Do you have to quiet yourself?
Let's sing together.
To forgive me, because I, as Carrie, did not check the words. The first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 9. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, thou hast broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
From Psalm 33, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him and on those who hope in his steadfast love.
That he may deliver their soul from death
and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield.
Yea,
our heart is glad on him because we trust in his holy name. Let thy steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us even as we hope in thee. The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Word of God, word of life.
Together, let us read the gospel. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all, and ordered them not to make him known. This was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not wrangle or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. He will not break a bruised reed or quench a smoldering wick till he brings victory. And in his name will the Gentiles hope. The Gospel of the Lord.
I invite you to stand for this next song, and we're going to sing verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to sing an a cappella verse at the end.
Heavenly Father, to come and dwell amongst us. May your Spirit speak to us through your word, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. From the Hebrew text, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. These are thy holy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth, for thy word is eternal truth. Amen. Let me begin by saying that I love Advent. Let me further say that I love Advent because it brings us to another season that I love even more than Advent, and that's the Christmas season. I love the Advent wreath and the privilege that is mine to talk with children about the different candles, hoping to build a memory in these little ones of a time when they helped the pastor light the Advent wreath. I once wrote a song about Christmas, about the birth of Jesus, and I think it was right here in this place back in the 80s that I did it. And I've been singing that song every Christmas ever since. And on four other occasions besides this fifth interim, on Christmas Eve, I got to lead the children and the congregation in the singing of that song. It started out, I came to the barn to see baby Jesus. We won't sing that today because we're going to save that for Christmas Eve. A week ago Friday, that's about 10 days ago, because I had my sermon pretty much in hand for Sunday, and knowing that we would be back in Olympia for 3 days during Thanksgiving week, knowing that my sermon preparation for this morning would be cut short, I decided to start working on my sermon back then. Well, how do you do that? Well, you get out the text and find out what the biblical text for that Sunday is, and you read it. And I read it, and boy, I've read this before, I said to myself. How many times have I read that before? Over 50-some years of being a pastor. A lot of times. And I said, oh boy, I'm not really excited about doing it again. So is there something else that I can do? So, discouraged by that text, I went and read the other three texts for the other next 3 Sundays of Advent, and I sort of felt the same way about them. I just plain and simply didn't get very excited. And then I said, well, if I'm not very excited about those texts, you guys have probably heard sermons on those texts. If you haven't skipped Advent, over every 3 years they rotate, and you've heard, how many times have you heard sermons on those texts? And I said, well, maybe they've heard enough sermons based upon those texts. Knowing that my time here is limited, knowing that I'm here today and gone tomorrow, I decided, well, maybe I can do something different this Advent. That is, maybe I can be a non-Lutheran this Advent. And for the first time in my ministry, not preach those historic texts, but do something on my own. Not being a Lutheran pastor, but try being a Presbyterian pastor. What? Somebody said something. What? Oh my gosh. Okay. What? So today I'm going to try to do something I've never done before, creating a sermon series mimicking the pastor in the Presbyterian church which we attended for 4 years. He was a master of creating these series. Sometimes it'd be a 2-week or a 4-week or a 6-week, and usually they had something to do with the next one. They would build progressively upon the last. He never followed the lectionary that we Lutherans adhere to, but chose to preach about what he wanted to preach about, searching for text to support what he wanted to say. You know, that's just backwards. That's just something Lutherans don't do. We don't decide what we're going to preach about and then try to support it based on something in the Bible. No, we are assigned texts, and then we have to struggle with those assigned texts, trying to understand the contemporary situation in which those words were written, and then try to find a way to make those words fit into our situation here and now. Excuse me, but the Presbyterians do it backwards. You never preach about what you want to preach about, but rather what the lectionary forces us as Lutherans to preach about. Let me say it again. I'm here today and gone tomorrow. So, you know, I can get into trouble with you because I'll fly the coop. And so I use this freedom wondering if at this late stage in my ministerial career, if I could do what this Presbyterian guy up north does. I wonder if I had it in me to violate the rules, so that with a clear conscience as a Lutheran, I could for 4 weeks be a Presbyterian. I remember asking Pastor Sue how he chose the themes for those series that he was constantly creating. How do you do it, I asked him. How do you choose the themes? His response was, Al, I know what the people out there need to hear. I thought his response was a bit egotistical. I felt like telling him so, but also knew that it didn't make any sense for me to tell him so. And even worse than that, oftentimes I felt he was not in tune with all us gray-haired and less-than-haired people out in front. I wondered if he really knew what I, as his listener, needed to hear. Which then, based upon my criticism of him, today puts me on the spot, as I've chosen to go my way instead of the historic church's way. Do I know what you need to hear? Hey, many of you, I don't even know. So how can I know what you need to hear? Nevertheless, I'm going to do it. I'm going to shoot the moon this morning, creating and preaching a 4-Sunday series based upon the Advent wreath, the 4 candles of hope, and the Christ candle on Christmas Eve. Under the theme, have you looked at it on our website? Go to our website when you get home and check it out. A beautiful thing created by our president, Jacob, in which it says beautifully, Jesus brings us, the first Sunday brings us hope. The second Sunday brings us peace. The third Sunday, Jesus brings us joy. And the fourth Sunday, Jesus brings us love. And finally, culminating with the Christmas candle, Jesus brings himself. Born in Bethlehem. I don't know if this is what you need to hear, but this is what you're going to get. Using a Martin Luther cliche, so help me God. So let's get going before my time runs out. Hear again the word of God, the author of which is unknown, the book of Hebrews. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. What do these words mean? What do these words mean? Holding fast the confession of our hope? Last week, I shared with you the Thanksgiving story of my experience as a little boy in the turkey, and how as a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 year old going through the trauma of World War II, how the manufacturing enterprises in our country turned to the war effort, and how simple things like bicycles were no longer being manufactured. I had 2 older sisters. We had 1 bicycle, and it was an old bike. and it was their bike. The year was probably 1946, making me 9 years old. And I was a bike rider, and I wanted for Christmas what? A bike. As happened every year in December, Monkey Ward's and Sears Roebuck would mail out their what? Their little catalog, mostly filled with toys. Remember those? And in that catalog, there were pictures of bicycles, which hadn't been in the catalog during the war years, because bicycles were not being made. So while there were pictures of bikes in the wish book, you couldn't go down to Monkey Ward's or Sears. We had both of them in our town of 8,000 people. We also had a Gamble's, remember them? We had a Western Auto, and we had an Our Own Hardware. We had five different places in our town where you could buy bicycles, if they had them. The two older neighbor boys had new bicycles. It was because their dad had an in with somebody in one of those places where you could buy a bicycle. I didn't get a bicycle. I only had the hope to get one. Though it's one way we use the word hope, I hope I get a bike, it's not the biblical use of the word. It's not the hope of the Advent wreath candle. What then is? How do we define hope? What is the biblical understanding of hope? When we read from Hebrews, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. In 1897, 122 years ago, my father was born on the same farm, in the same farmhouse in which I, 40 years later, was born, 1937. He loved those 22 acres of 2 foot deep black Iowa loam and was a wonderful steward of the soil, rotating his crops. They don't do that anymore. Now it's all corn and soybeans, and you pour in fertilizer. Not so. In the days of my youth, in the days of my father and mom, instead of taking a third cutting of hay, he believed in green manure, and he would plow under that third crop instead of harvesting it and putting it in the barn, replenishing the soil with nutrients, caring for it, and not abusing it. Some things you never forget. Some things you never forget about your mom and your dad. He lived knowing that the land was not his. It was his to use, but not to abuse. I was his only son. He was caring for that land so that he could pass it on to me in the way that it was passed on to him by those who owned it before his parents. Unaware of what was happening, as a little boy, my parents were grooming me to be a farmer, like my dad and like his dad. As a young boy, I shared with you last week that one of my jobs was gathering the eggs, getting the eggs. They were teaching me to work as a little kid. I had to mow the lawn with a hand-push lawnmower. Neighbors had one with rubber tires. Ours wasn't. Ours was just steel tires. I coveted that rubber-tired one the neighbors had. Still push. One of my jobs was to go to the barn and out of the oat bin, scoop up oats and put into the manger where Dick and Babe, our workhorses, were tied. We didn't have running water on the farm. We had a drinking pail. And one of my jobs was to take that pail and go out to the hand pump and keep drinking water, fresh drinking water, in the house. In retrospect, what was all that about? They were grooming me, teaching me work habits, the work ethic, hoping, wishing, perhaps even praying that someday I would stay on the farm. And I mentioned in my first sermon, third generation, actually, I would have been third, my dad and his dad. Throughout my high school years, my dad often said, "When you finish high school, we're going to retire, and then the farm is yours." Deep in their heart was this wish. Deep in their heart was this hope. That's a legitimate use of the word hope. But it's not the hope of the Advent wreath. Their hope was a dream. Their hope was a desire. Their hope was a wish. So what is the biblical understanding of hope? If hoping for a bicycle and if hoping for their son to take over the farm are not the hope of the Advent wreath, then what is? The season of Advent is about the kind of hope that the Bible wants us to understand. That hope will be born on Christmas Day. Jesus, God's only begotten Son, is a definition of the biblical word hope. Jesus is our hope. The season of Advent then is about anticipating this hope in which things are going to be literally turned upside down. Moses' table of laws, wonderful laws to be respected and followed and lived by, providing meaningful guidelines for a orderly life. That kind of law is going to be turned upside down. The season of Advent is a season of hope, the anticipation of the coming of someone who will replace living by the law, introducing a new way, a new approach, a new reality, the gift born in the manger, the gift of God's grace in Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. A Baptist pastor in England, way back in 1834, penned these words, the words of which we will sing at the close of the sermon. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Jesus is my hope. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let us hold fast to this hope that is born in a manger." Holding on to hope is holding on to Jesus. who holds onto us. What then is our confession of hope? It is our confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus, Jesus is hope, our hope. I began by saying, I love Advent. Then I also said that I love Christmas. I love Christmas, the words of the Christmas hymn, which we're going to sing at the close of our worship this morning. These words, be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask you to stay close by me forever. And love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in your tender care and fit us for heaven to live with you there. Jesus living in us. My definition of the Advent wreath candle of hope is that the Jesus who came lives in us. And as he first came as a babe, someday he will come again to receive us unto himself. Until then, he lives. Until then, he lives in us. That is a biblical understanding of hope. Jesus is our hope. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your presence, your living presence in our lives as we anticipate celebrating the birth of hope in a manger in a Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. In his name we pray. Amen. Let us stand. My hope is built on nothing less. The Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Heavenly Father, it is good to be gathered as your children and family on this first day of Advent to begin our preparation of celebrating the birth of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask for your presence in our lives, helping us to keep our focus on what this season is all about. Help us not to get caught up in busyness, losing sight of your business, the birth of your Son. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For those for whom this season is not easy and find little for which to be filled with Christmas hope, let us be sensitive to their needs, supporting those within our reach with our presence and love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We continue to pray for the leaders of our nation and pray for civility between our political parties, for the injured ones during this past night in New Orleans by the misuse of firearms. We ask your presence and healing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For those celebrating birthdays this December, we thank you for the gift of life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We continue to ask your guidance for Shepherd of the Valley as we continue the process of calling our new pastor. We thank you for leading Jacob Hoagland to us as our new director of music. We thank you for the past ministry of Craig Irby and ask your blessing upon him as he seeks to continue his music ministry in a new setting. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear us now as we offer our prayers, spoken and in our hearts.
For Cheryl as she enters the last stages of hospice. For all our members that are homebound.
Tim Ramke. Norman Smith. Aidan Nardberg. Ben Gates.
Continued healing for Corinne.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen. Let us continue our worship by receiving our morning offering.
Redemption. sin and death. Now you're risen. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where you love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross.
Let us pray. God of glory, receive these gifts and the offering of our lives. As Jesus was lifted up from the earth, draw us to your heart in the midst of this world, that all creation may be brought from bondage to freedom, from darkness to light, and from death to life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
On the night in which our Lord was betrayed, he sat with his disciples, and after dinner he took both the bread and the cup. And he blessed the bread and broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." He blessed the cup and said, "This cup is a new testament in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins." Believing that Jesus is truly present in the spoken words with his disciples, that this is my body. This does not represent my body, but this is my body, and this is my blood shed for you. I invite you on his behalf to receive him. He is truly present with us in this bread and in this wine. Come to the feast. Jesus' invitation is to you and to me.
Thank you. but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now, may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for us, for the forgiveness of all our sins, strengthen us, preserve us, and everlasting life. Peace be with each one of us. And together we say,
Amen.
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 I'll start. Check your bulletins on the activities that we have planned in this wonderful Advent season. On the 14th, on Saturday, we're going to have a Christmas music sing-along. Choir will do a few things. The most important thing is to come have fellowship as we prepare for Christmas and bring a treat to share, a Christmas family favorite, and we'll just have a nice time enjoying music and enjoying each other. The other one that's coming up is Christmas caroling, and the Christmas caroling starts at 1 o'clock, not just 3:30. 1 o'clock will be at the Springs, and we happen to know somebody that's here today that lives there now. I don't know, but I understand she's taught me well to have a big voice. We're going to have the opportunity to have time in between our two Christmas caroling opportunities to have some social time in the private dining room at the Springs. So we'll have some of us get together and provide some snacks, so we'll have something light to eat before we go to across the street to visit Elotus Laban, a longtime member who lives at Rock Creek Community. And they just always look forward to us. I just found a thank you note I got from her last year when I was going through things. So this ministry is a great ministry, and it's for all ages. Bring the kids, bring grandkids, wear your Christmas sweaters, your jingle bells, your antler ears, whatever you'd like to do to be festive. And let's, you know, make a difference in the lives of our friends at those two facilities. So one more thing. I want you to know that all of the gifts that were given, clothes, prayers, and money, that for Mazatlan, for our humanitarian efforts while we were there, we were able to, with the money that was donated, pay for dinner for 200 families, rotisserie chickens, plural, and rice, beans, salsa, tortillas. I got to meet the man who helps donate part of it. He does all the cooking and just charges his costs. And he and his son and his wife start early in the morning, Christmas Eve morning, to bake all those chickens and put all the food together. They're distributed by volunteers, both where we stay and guests of where we stay. The other money went to buying supplies for 24 women for just different health care needs. And I had a chance to meet these women. They're in a domestic violence shelter. There's 24 women. And it just was very heartwarming because they don't understand English and I don't understand Spanish, but I understand love. And the love that came from that experience was wonderful. The other clothes, all the women's clothes went there. And then all the children's clothes went to a organization that ministers, teaches, babysits, and gives preschool and other education to the children that live in the dump. There are families that live in the dump, and they're left. The kids have been left on their own, most part. So these two women have created a ministry to help the families that live there. And they offer parenting classes and parenting help. So it's called Roots and Wings. It's a nonprofit. And so all of the gifts were very generously received. So know that you are reaching up, reaching out, and reaching in for Christ in this, in the ministry of this humanitarian. Thank you very much for the support of that.
Okay, I've got, ooh, that's hot. I've got a couple things. Okay, first off, I wanted to highlight the fact that we are receiving a gift for Craig today as a gift for his generosity and his talents that he's shared with us during his time. There's also a card on the table if you'd like to sign that. If you did want to make a gift to him, just, you know, write the check to SOV, and in the memo put gift for Craig. Second thing, I'm very excited to welcome Jacob Hoagland to be our new director of music, so please give him a round of applause. Very talented, extremely talented. Why don't you say a word to the folks about, you know, kind of what brought you here?
Yeah, I'm on the spot. Wow. Well, I've been in music ministry for about 10 years doing music, and I recently took a couple years off just because I was playing every Sunday and I needed a little bit of a break. So in the last couple months, God put it on my heart to look around and try to find a new church job and a place to do music ministry. And I found this place on Craigslist, of all places. I saw an ad. I'm really happy to be a part of it, so thank you.
Yeah, we're happy to have you with us, Jacob. Thank you so much. Couple other things here. Christmas decorating, that is this coming Saturday, 10:30. I'll be running it. I'm looking for volunteers to come help set up. It's super fun. And in fact, after church today, I'm going to run over to the shed. We're going to open the doors up the shed. We're going to bring the stuff into the narthex. So if you've got a few minutes after church and you have a good back and you want to help me, I'd appreciate it. I'll probably take maybe 15, 20 minutes. That's Saturday, 10:30 again. Then Advent Soup Supper. I don't think this has been highlighted, but we are doing the Advent Soup Supper Wednesday night services. That's the Soup Supper starts at 5:30 with the service after. I think we'll do the Holden Evening prayer service. So that's the 4th, the 11th, and the 18th. Now, one thing to know about the 18th, which is not listed in your bulletin, is that we're actually going to shift the start date up for the soup in the service because the KOK Christmas program is that night as well. So the start date on the 18th is at 5 p.m. Please make note of that so you don't show up a little late and miss the soup. But yeah, that's what's going on there. And then last thing, Pastor, did you know there's a birthday list up here?
Okay.
Don't forget. Like you did at first service.
Before we do that,
I have to tell you, I can't believe that you guys did 71 baskets, and Marianne had filmed some of it and showed me the film about it. I talked about your wonderful contributions and all the families you shared food with. They said to me at the Springs, must belong to a very large church. I said, no, but they have very large hearts. But it was wonderful, and I can't believe you did 71 families. It's wonderful. Thank you for your prayers.
One more thing is that at Christmas, we like to decorate with poinsettias. And so there's a sign-up sheet. We're going to have it in the back. If you want to dedicate a poinsettia to someone, you can sign up and do that.
And one last thing, the all-church luncheon is this Thursday, and it's here at Shepherd of the Valley. So we hope you will come and join us and have a wonderful luncheon. It will be provided, and share a Christmas memory with us, perhaps. Thanks.
I'm not going to say what I'm going to say to make you feel guilty, but I want to say it anyway. I want you to be invited by your pastor to come to the midweeks. Someone told me that maybe only about 10 people in the past were coming. I don't want to make you feel guilty, but I'm not sure how anybody can do Christmas without doing Advent. And the same way with Easter. How can you do Easter without doing Lent? And the way we do that is we prepare ourselves midweek. So I invite you again to come to our midweek services. Jacob's already mentioned it. Please come and enjoy a bowl of soup and a short meditation. Are you good at happy birthday improvisation? Okay. Okay, the birthday people, if you're here, stand up. Claire, Jessely, Desire,
Desiree,
yeah, I knew that. Ron, Prosper, Lorna, Kevin, Trevor, Amable, is that right?
Yep.
Hayden, Lisa, Linda, Rachel, Sheila, Tom, and Terry. I blew it the first service. I didn't do it. I forgot it. What? Oh, and my wife, Marianne.
Come up to the front. Up to the
it's
front.
It's like if you at the second service, too.
Up to the front. Jessely.
Talk about blowing
That's
it.
That's a tradition. Up to the front. Lorna.
Stand up, Lorna.
Come up to the front. Let's go.
Stand up for your birthday.
Come on. Lorna.
Okay.
Quit it. Actually, there's one other announcement that I forgot about, and that is that our pledges are due next Sunday. If you have them, you can drop them off in the offering plate, or you can drop them in the financial secretary's box in the office, and we are very much... Oh, yes, there's still statements to pick up as well, Peggy's reminding me. We look forward to the blessings that you'll share with us for the next year. Thanks.
I always get to say it at the close of service, but I want you to say it to me today. So the dismissal phrase there, turn it around. The P is C and the C is P. Okay? Let's do it.
Go in peace, hold fast to hope.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Closing hymn, Away in a Manger.